If all human beings are capable of coming to a knowledge of God's existence by the natural light of human reason, then why do so many today deny the existence of God? Or why do some even claim the opposite, that as human beings, it's impossible to know anything about whether God exists or not? Well, in this lesson, I want to take a look at paragraphs 36 to 38 in the Catechism and address this seeming contradiction between our experience and the Church's teaching. However, before we do, I want to offer you a motto for memorization for this lesson. Instead of using one of the in brief paragraphs like we've done in the previous two lessons, I want to offer you here a simple line based on a combination of the text in paragraphs 37 and 38. So the summarizing motto for this lesson is the following. In the historical conditions in which he finds himself, man stands in need of being enlightened by God's revelation. Now, let us begin by considering this historical condition in which humanity finds itself in. To do so, I'd like to start by sharing a brief quote from Gaudium et Spes, one of the four constitutions of the Second Vatican Council. In its first chapter on the human person, it states, quote, "Although he was made by God in a state of holiness, from the very onset of his history, man abused his liberty at the urging of the evil one. Man set himself against God and sought to attain his goal apart from God. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, but their senseless minds were darkened, and they served the creature rather than the Creator." End quote. As you can probably tell, this quote is a brief summary of what is usually called the fall of man, or the doctrine of original sin. What's important for us to recognize is that due to a real event, which the Catechism calls a primeval event, that occurred at the dawn of human history, human nature today is in a state of weakness in comparison to the way in which God first created us. In other words, before man's rejection of God in this primeval event at the beginning of man's history, a topic which we'll take a much closer look at in a future course, man did not only have the capacity in his nature to know God, but due to the original gift of divine grace, man was created in friendship with God and was able to know him with ease. Whereas in man's history, as we know it all the way up until today, though man has maintained this natural capacity for God, as a consequence of man's primeval rejection of his creator, he finds himself before baptism without the gift of divine life, and also faces many obstacles that prevent him from using his faculty of reason well to attain a true and certain knowledge of God's existence. These obstacles are due to what's commonly referred to as the darkening of our intellects and the weakening of our wills, both results of sinning against God. In simpler words, it's sin that makes us both stupid and weak. In fact, you can even say it makes us less human, but more on that in a future course. For now, though you've likely read it, I think it's appropriate to revisit the words of Pope Pius XII in his papal encyclical Humani Generis, which is extensively quoted in paragraph 37 of the Catechism. There he states, quote, "Though human reason is, strictly speaking, truly capable by its own natural power and light of attaining to a true and certain knowledge of the one personal God, who watches over and controls the world by his providence, and of the natural law written in our hearts by the Creator, yet there are many obstacles which prevent reason from the effective and fruitful use of this inborn faculty. For the truths that concern the relations between God and man wholly transcend the visible order of things, and if they are translated into human action and influence it, they call for self-surrender and abnegation. The human mind in its turn is hampered in the attaining of such truths not only by the impact of the senses and the imagination, but also by disordered appetites, which are the consequences of original sin. So it happens that men in such matters easily persuade themselves that what they would not like to be true is false, or at least doubtful." End quote. So, in summary, Man, who's made in the image and likeness of God, has been created in such a way so as to have a natural capacity for knowledge of the one personal God. But due to man's fall into sin, through the rejection of his very source of existence, his nature has been weakened, and though still capable, now struggles to come to a certain knowledge of God. And Pope Pius XII here does not shy away from the fact that because God transcends the visible order of things, only one who is ready to deny and surrender their ego for the sake of the truth will arrive by their own natural powers at a certain knowledge of God. And again, due to finding ourselves in a fallen state, we all struggle to willingly empty ourselves toward God in this way. This brings us to what may be the culminating point of this lesson, which is stated in the very first part of paragraph 38. This is why man stands in need of being enlightened by God's revelation. And as paragraph 38 goes on, we need God to enlighten us not only about those things which exceed our natural knowledge and require the gift of faith, but also about those truths which we are capable of coming to know through the use of our human reason, but often fail to do so because of our weakened nature. It seems likely that paragraph 38 here is drawing on the thought of St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologiae, where he states in question 1, article 1, quote, "Even as regards those truths about God, which human reason could have discovered, it was necessary that man should be taught by a divine revelation, because the truth about God, such as reason could discover, would only be known by a few, and that after a long time, and with the admixture of many errors. Whereas man's whole salvation, which is in God, depends upon the knowledge of this truth. Therefore, in order that the salvation of men might be brought about more fitly and more surely, it was necessary that they should be taught divine truths by divine revelation." End quote. It seems that here in the view of St. Thomas Aquinas, the great angelic doctor of the church, because of man's fallen condition, only a few human beings would have come to a knowledge of God without aid of his supernatural revelation, and only would have done so after much labor and with the admixture of many errors. Therefore, it is God's supernatural revelation that makes it possible not only for some, but for all to know the truth about God's existence, as well as other truths about God accessible by human reason, and to know them, as Pope Pius XII says, with ease, with firm certainty, and with no admixture of error. However, because it's God's supernatural revelation that makes it possible for all to know these truths with ease, firm certainty, and with no admixture of error, it requires an act of faith on our part to do so. And as I mentioned before, and you're likely aware, not everyone chooses to surrender themselves to God, nor give an assent of faith to his supernatural revelation. And rather than this having much to do with our natural capacity for God, this has more to do with the mystery of free will and why God would give us the ability to reject him. Another topic we'll deal with in a future course. However, another thing we should notice from St. Thomas's thought here is that because God has chosen to supernaturally reveal the truth about himself and not merely leave us to our own powers to discover him, he has revealed his love for each and every one of us. Not just wanting the salvation of those who would have had the will to find him, but desiring the salvation of every human person. Again, not just the salvation of some of us, but all of us. That said, before we conclude this lesson, I'd like to make one final point. For the entirety of this course, we've been speaking about this natural capacity that man has for his Creator. And in regard to this particular lesson, we've been reflecting upon the weakness of human nature and its common failure of recognizing God on its own, even while still maintaining its capacity for God. Though it's true God revealed himself supernaturally so that all men could more easily know him, it's also important for us to understand that it's because of our natural capacity for God, the way in which God made us, that we are even able to welcome God's supernatural revelation. And this is a point affirmed near the end of paragraph 36 in the Catechism. Just as perfection supposes something that can be perfected, so grace presupposes nature, and faith supposes natural knowledge. In the words of St. Thomas Aquinas, these truths about God, which can be known by the natural light of human reason, are not articles of faith, but are preambles to the articles. In a way, our natural capacity for God, a reference to our spiritual and intellectual nature, is a building block which prepares and enables us to later receive God's supernatural revelation, so that we can have real intimacy with Him. As we continue on in our study of the Catechism and the contents of God's revelation, you will notice how what God supernaturally reveals never contradicts what we can know about Him through the use of reason, but instead always builds upon what we could know and in itself is always reasonable. With this in mind, let us close this lesson in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord my God, I believe in You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In so far as I can, in so far as You have given me the power, I have sought You. I became weary, and I labored. O Lord my God, my sole hope, help me to believe and never to cease seeking You. Grant that I may always and ardently seek out Your countenance. Give me the strength to seek You, for You help me to find You, and You have more and more given me the hope of finding You. Here I am before You with my firmness and my infirmity. Preserve the first and heal the second. Here I am before You with my strength and my ignorance. Where You have opened the door to me, welcome me at the entrance. Where You have closed the door to me, open to my cry. Enable me to remember You, to understand You, and to love You. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.